MIC3 overexpression increases cotton resistance to RKN and has an additive effect when combined with chromosome 14 resistance QTL. Martin Rubin presenting for his group. Here's the presentation, the point it works. You have to advance the slides with the spacebar.
All right. Thank you to everybody that is staying. And this is when I saw where I was, the last speaker on the last day, I kind of went, oh boy. But I'm happy to see a decent number of people in here to listen to me today. So we're going to end with nematodes. And there was a very good talk yesterday by a student from Dr. Che's lab at University of Georgia that gave a nice background on the history of root knot resistance in cotton. But basically, you can get a 95% reduction in nematode reproduction in germplasm derived from Auburn 634. And this came out when I was in second or third grade. I turned 40 this year, and so that tells you how long this resistance has been around. But it's only been within the last 5 to 10 years that we've really made inroads into figuring out how this resistance works. In particular, mapping studies that have been done by our research unit at Mississippi State and other scientists in the cotton community have agreed on that there are two major QTL that are involved in root knot nematode resistance. One that resides on chromosome 11 and one that resides on chromosome 14. And when phenotyping these plants, there are two main things that we look at, and that is the level of galling on the roots caused by the nematode and the level of egg reproduction per gram root. And so what was found was that on chromosome 11, this has more of an impact on galling than it does on eggs. And on 14, it has a much greater effect on egg production than on galling. So this tells us that disease development and resistance is likely two separate processes in these plants. A study that came out in the mid-90s by Dr. Jenkins using this level of resistance identified two main points early and late in the disease process where you saw changes in the number of sedentary nematodes that remained in the roots and actually the number of nematodes that were able to develop to mature females and lay eggs. And so we need to keep in mind the early and late and chromosome 11 and chromosome 14. It's still a mystery as of now which QTL is contributing to these different time points. In the mid-90s, a gene was identified, MIG3, which stands for myeloidogyne-induced cotton transcript. It was found in the immature galls of resistant plants following root knot nematode infection. So this was at about 10 days after inoculation during the early part of resistance. MIG3 belongs to a gene family that we call orphan genes. These are genes that generally lack any kind of homology to any other sequences. In fact, MIG3 is specific to Gossypium. You can't find homologous sequences outside of cotton. It's a relatively small protein. It has a root-specific expression, and like I said, it comes from a large gene family. So what we did was, of course, wondered, can we take MIG3, overexpress it in a susceptible genetic background, and get resistance? And so this is what we did. Now I'm just showing here kind of a summary slide. This work, the details of it, you can read about in a manuscript in Theoretical and Applied Genetics that came out this last year. But if you see here in this panel, this is on the y-axis, eggs per gram root, and we have Coker, which is a susceptible check, M8, which is another susceptible, M240, which is resistant, obviously, and then these are four independent transgenic events, each one overexpressing MIG3. And in each one, you see a pretty significant decrease in the number of root knot nematode eggs. Oddly, when you look at actually the galling that's present on the plant, Coker and M8 are pretty galled up. M240 doesn't have much galling. But when you look at the transgenic lines, they look pretty much like the susceptible checks. So with that in mind, given that, yes, there is a high level of resistance conferred when both of these QTLs are present, can we get near RKN immunity if we combine MYC3 overexpression with both of these QTLs? At the same time, using the MYC3 construct basically as a dominant gene in a cross, we can see how it interacts with the different QTLs to get a handle on where MYC3 expression falls in regards to being regulated by the chromosome 11 and chromosome 14 QTLs. So basically we can see epistatic effects or additive effects in a cross. And so what we set out to do was combine the MYC3 construct with the chromosome 11 and 14 QTLs in isolation and then combine all together to see what the effects on root knot reproduction and galling were. First, we had to identify the site of the insertion event in the transgenic line. The green here is the left tDNA border. The red is the right tDNA border. And so we were able to identify flanking genomic sequence and design PCR primers, here highlighted in black, that would amplify across the tDNA. And so when we do that in lane 3 here, this is the transgenic line, we get a huge PCR product because that tDNA is pretty large. In a non-transgenic line, we just amplify the native genomic DNA that's there. In a heterozygous line, you get both bands. So we have a very nice molecular marker for the construct. So we went ahead and crossed MYC3 transgenic line 1471 with N240. And we stealthed multiple F1s, pulled the F2 seed, and planted those out, about 600 of them. And we identified 4 to 6 F2 plants with each of the following genotypes. They either had neither resistance QTL with and without the construct, the chromosome 11 QTL with and without the construct, only the 14 QTL with and without, and then both resistance QTL with and without the construct. And so we assayed five, so these F2 plants were self to get F3 families, and five F3 families of each genotype were combined in the replicated experiments. This will be clear here in this picture. So each dot here represents a single data point, which is the eggs per gram root from three combined root systems. And so we have lines that lack both resistance QTL but have MYC3 overexpression, and then these are lines that don't have anything. These are fully susceptible. This bar here represents the mean, and this is the 95% confidence interval. And so you see when we introgress MYC3, or when we cross it with N240 and select out susceptible lines, we still get a decrease in root knot nematode reproduction compared to lines that lack the construct. So this is a good confirmation of our original study. Unfortunately, when you combine it with both the chromosome 11 and 14 QTLs, we don't get immunity. You can see here lines that have MYC3 and lines that don't have MYC3 are identical. So unfortunately, that didn't work out. But what's interesting is that when you combine the MYC3 construct with only the chromosome 11, it's also the same as lines that only have chromosome 11 but not MYC3. So MYC3 overexpression is not having an effect when it's combined with chromosome 11. So what that tells me is that chromosome 11 is likely regulating the induction of MYC3 in a normal resistant plant. So when you add more MYC3 to the plant, it doesn't really do anything because you already have MYC3 there. In contrast, when you add it add MYC-3 expression with the chromosome 14 QTL, you get a further reduction in eggs compared to lines that lack the MYC-3 construct. And you also get a clear from here a tighter grouping of phenotypes. So what this says is that the MYC-3 construct, which is like a dominant gene, remember, is additive to the chromosome 14 QTL. What this suggests to me is that chromosome 14 is decreasing root knot nematode egg production through a process that's independent of MYC-3 expression, so that when you add MYC-3 to it, you get an even bigger increase in resistance. Okay, so conclusions from this work. Chromosome 11 QTL and MYC-3 overexpression is redundant, like I said. Egg expression by chromosome 14 operates via mechanisms in parallel to the MYC-3 gene family. But the big implication of this is that there are yet undiscovered cotton genes that can be exploited to further increase root knot nematode resistance. Now, when the TM1 genome was published and is available online, you can blast sequences against it. We blasted MYC-3 against the genome. None of the MYC-3 gene family members correspond to chromosome 11 or chromosome 14. So they're not the genes responsible for resistance, I mean, when you in a heritable fashion. But what MYC-3 is it's a downstream player in the resistance response. And so what I'm interested in is what are these other genes that are downstream players in the resistance response? And maybe these other genes can be exploited to further improve resistance or make the resistance more durable. Along this line, like I said, MYC-3 was identified from early time point in the resistance response. So our hypothesis is that RKA infection of resistant plants elicits an early defense response mediated by chromosome 11 that includes MYC-3 expression. The late defense response is mediated by chromosome 14. I came to that conclusion from this data, and if any of you heard the talk yesterday by the student from Dr. Che's lab, she came to the same conclusion studying ISO lines that had the QTL separated out. So using, by two different experimental means, we came to the same answer, is that these QTLs work together to control different aspects of the resistance at different times. And so an ongoing experiment is further analyzing nematode develop in lines that only have, or that have these QTLs separated out, and eventually looking at the gene expression in those lines under nematode parasitism to see which signaling pathways chromosome 11 is controlling and which signaling pathways chromosome 14 is controlling. So Drs. Jeff Hilton and John Burke helped make the MYC-3 lines, and with the greenhouse and statistics, Dr. Russ Hayes and Mr. Gorley at our location. So with that, I'll end and take any questions.
Got a question.
Have you done anything at all with the nematodes that are able to reproduce at very low levels on those lines, try to recapture those and see if that's a, if their ability to reproduce increases once you've kind of got the, you know,
I've tried a couple times to break the resistance in M240 unsuccessfully. That was basically by inoculating a huge number of plants, getting the egg masses, re-inoculating M240 and keep going. Whenever I've tried to do that, it just goes down to zero. But I'd like to try a new strategy that Gary Lawrence told me he did once on, I think, sweet potato, where you inoculate M240, collect the eggs, inoculate on a susceptible, build it back up, go back to the resistant, and kind of go back and forth to see if, because I think with there only being two genes right now for root knot resistance in cotton, that's a vulnerability. If that resistance breaks down, then we're back to where we started from. And so if we can do some preemptive breeding, I think that would be wise. So.
Worth the wait. That concludes our session for this morning.